Good morning to all of you. Praise to our God, our Father, and also our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the salvation that sets us free. So thankful for that today. And I trust that each of you believe along with me that Jesus Christ is the only way. Today, I'd like for us to look at four different prayers that the Apostle Paul penned. There were many prayers that he penned, but we're going to look at four to several of the churches as he was, of the New Testament churches, as he was writing. And prayer has played such an important part in the church throughout history and is of such significance. We just sang about the power of God, and we know the Lord's power. But at the same time, he asks us to bring our needs, to bring our cares, to bring our wants and our desires to him. And today, these four prayers that we'll be looking at are really prayers of blessing and prayers of inquiry to the Lord for the church. And I would like to take those, and we'll pause after each section of Scripture today, and I would like to invite the Lord to bless us here at Dayspring in the particular areas that we'll see Paul writes about and is praying. He says he's praying for these churches. We'll start with Colossians, the first chapter. And verses 9 through 12 is where we'll pick up, and we'll gather some context after we read these verses. Verses 9 through 12 of Colossians 1, and this is, of course, Paul writing to the church at Colossae, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." So what was the reason for Paul's earnest prayers here for the church at Colossae? And in the first verse of Colossians 1, if you back up to the beginning of that passage, Paul notes and is thankful for and is happy about the positive report of this church's faith in Christ Jesus and how that faith was being manifested in their love for all the saints. Says, and he writes in earlier verses, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints." And so for that reason, Paul says here in verse 9, he continues to pray for them. And in verse 9, there are several words there that are of importance, I believe. He's praying and he's asking God on their behalf that they might be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Understanding. Knowledge is of importance, but without understanding the appropriate application can become difficult. So the knowledge of God's will, which is not just a light understanding, but a deep and thorough understanding of God's will. And this is what Paul is asking God to bring to the church at Colossae. In verse 10, Paul implores the Lord to enable the Colossian church to walk worthy of the Lord, completely pleasing Him. And part of that, the outpouring of their walk with the Lord, is being fruitful in good works. He also asks that they might, he again repeats, increasing in the knowledge of God. And I believe Paul's asking the Lord to aid the believers in living lives that are consistent with their new identification in Christ. Pleasing the Lord and bearing fruit is such fruit as our attitudes toward each other. What is our fruit here in that regard? Our righteous actions. And also part of the works, the following of accepting Christ, is that we are reaching out, and there are others that in turn come to Christ. I think of our celebration at the end of last week, commemorating and noting in a public way Mason's coming to Christ. In verse 11, Paul goes on to say that he's asking the Lord for His power to strengthen the believers. That is where the true strength lies, is in the power of the Lord. And he also gives a hint here in his prayer that perhaps there will be trials that they may need to withstand. And during that time, that they might stand with patience and long-suffering, accompanied by joy. In verse 12, Paul gives thanks for believers' qualification to be heirs of divine truth and purity. And without God's gift of grace, Jesus Christ, all people are really heirs of God's wrath. But with salvation was brought through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the believers in Colossae have inherited the light of Jesus' divine presence. So Paul is thanking and imploring the Lord all at the same time. And I'd like to do the same for us here this morning at Dayspring, the church at Dayspring. Father God, I thank you today for this church that we called Dayspring, and we experience each other as the church of Dayspring. And I ask today, Lord, that spiritual and moral understanding would continue here at Dayspring. And I ask that we would grow in that. And I ask that the knowledge of your will in our lives would deepen each of our resolves to walk worthy of your Son Jesus' sacrifice. I ask, Lord, that for those who are saved here today at Dayspring, who have put their faith and trust in you, that a desire might continue if it is already there, but that it might begin if it is not. A desire to be fruitful in the kingdom would grow in each of our hearts and bring forth fruit here in Fauquier County and in other areas wherever we may venture to and where our influence might reach. And then for any here today, Lord, that need your saving power, which we all indeed do, but any that need to take that step, complete faith in Jesus Christ, I ask for the work of your Spirit today, that they may be able to step in to the forgiveness of sins and eternal life that you have promised and given us through your Son. And it is in his name alone that I ask this, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the second prayer that we'll look at here is penned in Ephesians. We've got two of them that we will look at in Ephesians. Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 16 through 19. Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Paul says he gives thanks for the church at Ephesus. And he writes that he continually does this. And I also today thank the Lord for each one of you, for the church of Dayspring. This element of thanksgiving is of importance, and that we express it often, not only to each other, but to the Lord, thanking him for this church of a quarter century plus a few years. And the church, of course, is made up of people. It's all of us that are here. And then thanking the Lord for the broader church, the whole church of Jesus Christ. Paul asks God in verse 17 to give them the spirit of wisdom and a revelation of God. As they have knowledge of being in Christ. Those are, to me anyway, pretty deep words. And that is something that only comes through the work of God in our life, through the Spirit. And he notes in verse 18, they've already been enlightened because they've come to Christ. But Paul entreats that the Lord would continue to remind them of the opportunity to utilize that power that is in Jesus, and to step forward in faith. There's multiple references to power in these verses. And the power is not somehow conjured up from within us, some sort of emotional burst of enthusiasm that propels the church forward. No, it's the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and through God's gift of Jesus and our acceptance of him and availing ourselves of that power that is ours through Christ Jesus. So once again, I'd like to just briefly ask the Lord for his presence and infilling for us here at Dayspring. Father God, I ask that through your Spirit, you would remind us regularly of the power that is ours through Christ Jesus, and that we might avail ourselves of that power. Please give us insights from your word and direction from your Spirit as we do step forward in faith and as we call on the name and the power of Jesus in the coming days. Give us your strength, Lord, and show us your power. We need that so much today. And I ask that for each of us here at Dayspring. For those that may not be physically present with us here today, I ask also for that evidence in their life today. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The third prayer is a few chapters forward in Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. And once again, we're cutting in kind of in the middle of a thought here, and we'll get a little bit of context as we go along. Paul says, for this reason, in verse 14 of Ephesians 3, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his power, his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And Paul starts this section there in verse 14. He refers back. He says, for this reason, he was teaching and discussing in the verses leading up to this his concern about the unity of believers. That's most of chapter 2 and leading up into chapter 3. Both Greeks and Jews were believers in Christ, and they were in the church. And there were distinctive differences and some challenges. And Paul brings this to the Lord. And he says, I bow my knees to the Father. He brings this request in humility and submission to the Lord. And Paul says he's bringing the Ephesian church before the Lord that they might be strengthened as they experience the Lord's might in the inner man, in their souls, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within. And he asks that that would be evident as they increase and live out their faith. His prayer also for unity is one that can be a challenge. I think, for all of us as we interact. We are gifted differently. We have different strengths. We have different challenges. And it's really beautiful when we can come together in unity and work together with our differences to step forward and move forward together as the body of Christ. And so I would like to just ask for the Lord's hand upon us here at Dayspring, that we would step forward. And as we have been, but continually with unity and in mind, even with differences, difference of application of how we apply Scripture, that we could, for Christ's sake, move forward in unity. Father God, I thank you today for the salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ, and you have created each one of us differently. You've given us differing personalities. You've also blessed us with different spiritual gifts. And because of that, to me it seems evident that you have created us to approach life in different ways, to handle our responsibilities in ways different than maybe a brother or a sister might. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I ask today that you would give us to building your kingdom can draw us closer to Christ together, even in our differences. So I thank you for that, Lord, and I ask for unity. And I'm also supposing that because we're taking a public view of this morning, that we may be tested in this. If we're really going to stand and be a church that is unified in our approach to building your kingdom, we likely will be tested in this area. So I ask now in advance for your strength, your protection, and that the love of Jesus would envelop our souls and our lives as we work together in your kingdom. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The last prayer, the fourth prayer, is just a few verses in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Verses 9 through 11. Paul writes, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more," the love of the church, "in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Paul is concerned here in his prayer to the Lord that the church at Philippi would be concerned about and follow the truth of the word, the truth that is brought to us through the Holy Spirit. And this is really a prayer for discernment. And I believe we all need that. I need that very desperately in these days. Look at our culture. There is confusion everywhere. But that's not new. Confusion has been around since the beginning of time. And our God is not the author of confusion, but his truth is given to us in the written word, as well as the truth that is stamped upon our hearts. And so today, for us here at Dayspring, I'd like to ask the Lord that he would bless us with discerning hearts, and that as we work together in unity in our church here at Dayspring, that we would, in love, discern and live out the truth of his word. And I'm sure I'm not alone in these prayers, and I thank each of you for your praying for the church. It's of utmost importance as we cry out to the Lord. Father God, I thank you for your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is the word. And so today I ask that you would give us each a vision of Jesus as we leave here. And I pray that as we discern the messages we hear, that we would match those up against your written word and also the infilling presence of the Holy Spirit. So we ask for discernment in these days, and we also ask that your love would be evident as we expound and exchange your truths with each other. I thank you, and I ask that you would just bless each of us as we leave here today. Give us a clear vision of Jesus Christ, and that our focus would be squarely upon Christ as we leave here today. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. So I pray today, and I will continue to pray, that we all might walk worthy of the high calling in Christ Jesus, as was noted in the first prayer that we looked at. And secondly, that we might avail ourselves of the power that is ours through Christ Jesus, actively seeking and engaging and moving forward in faith as we live out our callings here. Thirdly, I will continue to pray, and I invite you to join me, that we would be reminded of and understand God's fullness for the church of Jesus Christ, and that in our differences, we would experience and accept the Lord's guidance as we practice unity. We can ask the Lord for unity, and I have, and I'm sure we likely all have, but then we need to practice it as well. And lastly, I trust that we will leave this place today with our sights set on living out the truth of God's word and being discerning in accepting the messages that come our way from so many different fronts. That we would live out that truth of God's word and apply the truth in love. So thank you that for listening and reading along with me, and perhaps praying as well. And I invite you throughout this week to continue in an attitude of prayer, and pray for Dayspring. Pray for, and by saying Dayspring, I mean the individuals that make up Dayspring. I'm grateful for each one of you. And I will also be praying this week that we might each experience the love of Christ, but that our expressions of love and our experience of love might not cloud our ability to discern truth. And then that our understanding of truth might not overpower our ability to love. So thank you.